Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out the make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, November the 30th of 2018. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time really explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my sisters, I want to break down a topic that I hear all the time, or a subject, I want to talk about a subject that I hear all the time, not only with myself. I had to go through this first before. Remember, whatever you're called to do is what you've been through. Also, today is my daughter's birthday, my middle daughter, Sheree, so happy birthday, Sheree, to my middle daughter. I'm really, really proud of you, Sheree. I love you. Today, brothers and sisters, we want to talk about how to feel good while doing bad. This is a Kingdom Millionaire class number 15 of the 365 classes that we have this year. Now, brothers and sisters, this is one of those subjects and topics that's extremely important, because you know that we bring about what we feel about. And the reason why this topic is so important, because at the end of the day, at the bottom line, at the base, when everything's done, when we are 100% real with ourselves, the reason that we are not where we should be is because we don't feel we deserve to be. At the end of the day, everybody have a self-worth or a net worth problem. We have a self-image problem. the way that we see ourselves. So we don't see ourselves the way that we should. And the reason that we don't see ourselves the way that we should is because we are doing things that we believe that we should not. Now, the reason that we're doing things that we should not is because we are feeling feelings that we should not. And the reason that we're feeling feelings that we should not is because we're thinking thoughts that we should not. And the reason that we're thinking thoughts that we should not is because we have not brought our thoughts into captivity and see if they are of God, if they are in line with the grantor of destiny, if they are in line with our design. And we could continue going on and on till we trace back, and the process is the solution. See, the Bible says something like this. It talks about, you know, our right standing or our righteousness. So our righteousness, regardless of how great or small it is like a filthy rag. And you know that is found in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Now, let me make sure you under and over and understand, because this is the crux. This is the foundation of all poverty. This is the foundation of all disease. This is the foundation of all ignorance. And it's also the foundation of all bad or negative relationships. And that is this ideal that, you know, all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins manifest our ends. So it's this ideal of transferring filthy rags into prosperous or clean rags. So if we are a filthy rag, excuse me, according to the Old Testimony or the Old Testament, that's found in the book of Isaiah. Now, I want to talk about this subject a little slower than usual, so that way I don't lose anybody, because Isaiah 64 and another scripture that talks about this or mentioned this is Romans 3:10. Both of these scriptures mention something that's extremely important, that's very, very important for us to wrap our brain around when we're talking about something that has to do with how we live our life. Why is this subject the most important subject on earth? Because you bring about what you feel about. Feeling is praying. So how you feel is how you pray. That's the only reason I'm doing today's topic. Since a lot of people are praying wrong, and they don't understand why they are drawing wrong. So you bring about what you think about. And since we think we're bad, we're drawing bad. Now, that has to change. It has to change yesterday. But you're doing bad things. So the thoughts are justified. So the thoughts, the brain is telling you, yeah, Negro, you should feel bad. Because look at you. Look at what you're doing. Look at what you're thinking. And look at what you're doing. And so we got a conundrum. But we really don't got a conundrum. But people think there is a conundrum. That's the reason why that's the reason I'm in business. If everybody could understand these three keys I'm getting ready to share today, I would have to go get a real job. Thankfully, probably not going to happen. There's three keys that you have to take away with to understand the kingdom mindset. If you do not understand these three keys, then you will not be wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a toe-curling relationship with the king on the king level. Now, you're already wealthy. Let's not get it twisted. You're already healthy. You're already wise. And your toes are semi-curled. But in order for you to truly vibrate on the highest, now remember we're talking about the highest good. I'm a chief performance officer. Chief performance. That means the highest possible level of performance. So that's what we're talking about, the highest possible good. So, again, as I say on all of my shows, I'm a Hebrews 6:1 guy. Hebrews 6:1. You know, let us go on to perfection, teleites. We just did the series on teleites. So that's where I'm headed. I'm headed to teleitesism. That's called kingdomism. Number one, brothers and sisters, you have to understand the etymology of God. Number one, how to feel good while doing bad things. Number one, you got to understand the etymology of God. See, number one is we don't understand God. We don't understand the scientific, what I call the quantum God. We don't understand, or what I call the electric God or the electron God. We do not understand the electron God. We do not understand the quantum God, and we surely do not understand the biblical God. We don't. That's why you feel bad while doing bad. And that's why I feel good while doing bad, because I understand the etymology of God. Number one, if you do not understand the etymology of God, you will always, because there's always something that the devil can bring into your brain. Always. I don't care how great we are. Now, the Bible says there is none righteous. Now, first of all, we already read the, you know, Isaiah 64:6, Romans 3:10, filthy rags. We already know that the Bible also says there's none right standing, no, not one. There is none. So this ideal is kind of a conundrum, because the etymology of God, there's a lot we could talk about, but for today's show, in order for you to feel, because right now, since you pray by feeling and you feel bad, so you're praying for bad things to happen in your life, bad things keep happening in your life, you don't understand. You know, I talk to people all day and they say, "Brother Will, I don't understand, man. I'm doing everything you said." Okay, how you feel? "Man, I'm not where I want to be." Okay, how do you feel because you think you're not where you want to be? "Man, I don't know, dude. I don't feel good, brother. I feel like I'm listening to your shows and stuff, but I'm not measuring up, brother, to what you said." Y'all think I'm measuring up to my own shows? I don't measure up to my own stuff. But I don't feel bad because I don't measure up to my own stuff. Because as I said before, righteousness, the goal is perfection. The goal is Hebrews 6:1. Teleites. I'm not there yet. So how come I don't feel bad? Because I understand the etymology of God. Okay, Brother Will, what is the etymology of God? Well, at the core, God is spirit. Okay, that does nothing for me. That doesn't make me feel better, brother. Okay, God is omnibenevolent. Now, remember, he's omniscient, omnipotent, he's omnipresent, you know, he's omnisimplistic. But the cookie blower is he's omnibenevolent. Now, I have this inside of my book, and I keep saying this because this saves my life. This really saves my life. Really. Because, remember, I had a flawed view of God because the person that had a Bible and a collar when I was a kid, they beat the snot out of me. My father beat the snot out of me. So everybody, God represented beatings. Then I read the Old Testament, and that God, the Old Testament, was ruthless. He killed men, women, children, dogs, cats. And there's one scripture in there where it said kill everybody, even freaking burn the grass. I was like, damn, that God don't play. So the Old Testament God is what I came up with. I came up with them old school preacher's fire and brimstone message where, brother, you're going to hell. If you're breathing, you're going to hell. So that's why I was a scared chicken coming up. So I didn't like God. I had a faulty view of God. I was afraid of God. Since God represented a guy who was wanted to torture me, every time I thought about something, I felt fear, so I drew fear. I was afraid of God, and 99% of the Christians I know, they all scared as hell of God. Me and God, we hang out every day. He's right here right now. "Hey, what's up, God?" See, hey, God gave you a high five. High five, homie. See, I don't know what kind of relationship y'all got, but, you know, hey, that's between you and your God. But for me and God, me and my God, we're one. So we kick it. We crack jokes. Everywhere I go, he go. I ain't got to summon him up. I ain't got to call him. I ain't got to go into my prayer closet. I ain't got to say no Hail Marys. I don't need no sage or no salt. I ain't got to meditate. Me and God are one, 24/7, 365. See, I understand the etymology of God, and God is omnibenevolent. See, notice The word omnibenevolent means infinitely good, all-loving. It means supernaturally transference simultaneously because he's omniscient. That means it is unlimited. It's unlimited, and it's everywhere. In other words, omnibenevolent means it's improbable. That's what I'm looking for, to exhibit negativity. So we got a concern because there's people who feel negativity. And where is it coming from? If God is omnibenevolent, and he is, he's all good, where does bad come from? Bad is a misunderstanding of good. Now, I heard this story. It was posted on Facebook. This is a true story. Now, I got my own true stories, a plethora of them. But y'all heard all my stories. So there's this guy who's in college. It was posted on Facebook a couple of days ago, YouTube. He's a preacher. I forgot the guy's name. He was telling a story. He was in college. It was Thanksgiving. Everybody was leaving. He had nowhere to get home. He had some friends. He didn't really know them. Excuse me. They were just fellow students at, I think it was Morehouse University. He asked them for a ride. They said, sure. The driver said, yeah. But the driver had two other buddies with him. And long story short, day to leave, campus came. Thanksgiving break. Everybody's leaving. The guy goes to get in the car, and the other two dudes in the back say, oh, hold up, dog. You can't ride with us. And the guy was like, man, I ain't got no other options. I didn't, you said you was going to give me a ride. So I didn't book no flights. I mean, he had the money anyway. I didn't take a bus. You guys are my only option to get off this rock for Thanksgiving break. So he looks at the driver and he said, you told me, man, you was going to give me a ride. And the driver looks at the guys in the back seat, and they was like, nah, man, don't give him no ride, man. Nah, dude. So the driver says to the guy, man, I'm sorry, bro. I can't give you a ride. And the dude was like, come on, man, I don't want to stay here over the Thanksgiving break. All the students are gone. I'm going to be in this dorm room by myself on Thanksgiving Day. I'm eating college dorm room food and blah, 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 blah. Long story short, they left. The guy, he ended up staying in Thanksgiving. He was feeling bad because they left him. They wouldn't give him a ride. So Thanksgiving break is over. Everybody come back to campus. Those three guys, they're not on campus. And then everybody started asking around, hey, man, you seen Jim Bob, Larry and Mo, Curly, Larry and Mo? And they was like, oh, no, dude, we ain't seen them. Then they gather everybody into the assembly hall, and the president of the university comes in and makes an announcement and say, hey, y'all remember Larry, Curly, and Mo, who were students here at Morehouse University? Now, this is a true story. Well, they just got arrested for having 2 kilos of cocaine in the trunk of their vehicle. They all got mandatory, because remember, certain parts of the country, especially back then, that was mandatory sentencing. Mandatory, the limit, the minimum. I think it was like 10 years, whatever it was, 10 to 15 years in prison. So this guy dodged the bullet. Now, I heard the 911 stories too. Guy missed his plane flight. The plane that he was on was the one that crashed into the building, or he should have been on, or crashed into the Pentagon. We all hear stories like this where no is actually yes, but you feel bad when God say no. But when actually no saved your life, if that guy would have got into that vehicle with those three strangers, he'd be in prison right now. The fact that they, and the really weird thing, when I heard the guy tell the story, the dudes in the back really didn't like him because really he was a green guy. He was a Christian. You know, he wasn't a thug. They said, oh, man, we don't take this dude with us, man. He weak, basically. That, brothers and sisters, in other words, when bad, what you say is bad, being left over the holidays because guys don't want to give you a ride because they don't like you, is actually good. All I'm simply saying to you today is when I lose, I win. When I win, I win. So for me, bad is good. Good is good. It is all good because there's only one God, because I understand the etymology of God. I understand, based upon, again, I wish we had the time to go through, and I've done this in other shows and other series, and we really talked about the electric universe already. We talked about the electron God already. haven't really gotten too much into the quantum Christ or the quantum God to understand how quantum physics proves what I'm saying, that all there's an expression. Now, the word patar in the Greek gives the English word father. So the father is omnibenevolent. Now, that is contrary to most people's doctrine that I know. Most people I talk to, they say, dude, if you do this, God gonna get you, Holmes. See, I don't have that kind of God. Now, I'm not saying he don't exist, because a lot of people got that God. I just don't like, I don't roll like that. I would not serve a God that if I make a mistake, because, you know, if you've been evil, the scripture I read says, if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to his children when they ask or something like that? So what am I saying? Key number one, you have to know at the etymology of God. That's the key number one in order for you to do bad things. Now, let me define bad things, because maybe there's somebody out there that don't know what is bad and what is good. There's something called the Ten Commandments, right? There is something called morality. There is something called, again, what I call a hidden code. And there's the biggest things are what is called social norms. So right now there are social norms. It is socially unacceptable to do certain things. Not necessarily it's a crime. It's not bad or good. It's just society don't interracial marriage, for example. There ain't no law against interracial marriages. I mean, there used to be, but, you know, not anymore. However, depending on what part of the country, well, I know because, you know, I was my first marriage, you know. But we was in California most of the time, so guess what? In California, at least I didn't notice anything. It was cool. It wasn't until I left California and came to Texas. And I came back to Texas, and all of a sudden, I started noticing people, man, look at that dude. Who the hell? Man, look, what do they think they? I started hearing whispers because the social norm. Now, social norms are not written. They're like hidden codes. So what you are feeling is the violation of a social norm. It's usually most of us are not engaged. Now, even the morality stuff, even the violation of the Ten Commandments, you know, all of that stuff, yeah. Now, people hear this and they say, well, Brother Will, what are you saying, man? You just go out and do whatever the beep, 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 beep you want. Just knowingly and willfully violating universal spiritual law. Well, you know, we all know that dog don't hunt, because number two, in order for you not to feel bad, is you have to understand the etymology of mankind. In order to not feel bad while doing good, in order to not feel good, I should say, while while doing bad. I had it backwards. See, most people, they don't understand the true destiny of mankind, especially Christians. Now, I educate Christians all the time, because remember, as a retired Christian, I can overstand. Remember, you can't minister in no area unless you've been there before. So it's really easy for me. I have grace towards believers and traditional Christians, because I used to be one. I mean, I was licensed all day, preached on Sundays, the whole nine. Yeah, I'm not going to say that was a waste of time, but yeah, that was a waste of time. Now, what am I saying, though, brothers and sisters? The etymology of God. So the etymology of God, because there is something, again, not only are there, you know, social codes or social norms that we are violating, there are also written norms that we are violating as well. These are laws. For thou shalt not steal. That's a law. You go take something, that's called theft. They catch you, you go to jail. But what if you're stealing? And you feel bad because you're violating a written law. Now, shouldn't you feel bad? You're doing bad stuff, dude. Why are you out there stealing? Now, let's look at the psychology behind this, because this is really important. See, there's this informal understanding that govern our behavior in all society, because remember, this is the kingdom. So in the kingdom, there's a social norm in the kingdom too. But the social norms of the kingdom are different than the social norms in the world. That's why, you know, I thank God when, you know, one of the opportunities that I have is working with people. I remember when I made the trip to California and I got a chance to meet some people who wanted to build something and create something that didn't have the current sociological and psychological perspectives of the dominant culture or disharmonious arrangement. We already got that out there. See, the reason that I'm a lone wolf, the reason that I got my own company, I do my own thing, I didn't hook up with anybody else, because, I already did that already, dude. I have 58 jobs. I hadn't seen anything that was on my level, which is not my level, that was on God's level. I hadn't seen anything that was on God's level that looks at the heart and not at the skin or the behavior. Now, I'm not saying, again, that I want that I'm endorsing any type of negative behavior, but what I am saying is, if you do not understand what governs the behavior of the members of our society and the individual groups, especially teams, especially culture, especially work office and work culture or business culture, or the viceroy or different dispositions or different cities. There is a culture in New Orleans that's different from the culture in Las Vegas. There's a culture in pretty much all of South Texas. Now, there's a culture in Mississippi. You haven't been to Mississippi? There's a culture there. It's different from the culture in California. So if you don't understand that, there are certain things that's in Mississippi that are unwritten rules of behavior that are considered totally unacceptable. That's cool in California. But it's not cool in Mississippi. So if you do not understand what is culturally acceptable, then you are going to feel bad because people are going to make you feel bad. So what do we do, Brother Will? Well, number one, as we said before, already you got to have a mindset that is always good, meaning that's always a solution. Meaning, like, for example, with my perfect example was with my wife's situation, and I was expressing to her, and the doctor, she had a doctor today that was awesome, who said the same thing I said. Like I've been saying, in the kingdom, there is a king, there is a kingdom, and there are keys. Keys unlock doors. I've never encountered a problem that the king can't solve with his keys. That's the kingdom. That's not socially acceptable. That is not considered acceptable by our society, because in our society there are problems. Now, have y'all really looked at the Hellequin dialectic? Excuse me. The Hellequin dialectic is when you create a problem and offer the solution. They do it all the time. They're doing it down at the border. So Donald Trump comes into office and he said, I'm going to build a wall. And he said, hey, the Mexicans are going to pay for it. Or Mexico. Mexico says, we don't think so. Then Donald Trump said, hey, the government's going to pay for it. Our government said, we don't think so. So Donald Trump said, I'm going to build this wall, dude. And everybody says, we don't think so. Now all of a sudden, Hellequin dialectic shows up. We got a mass of people showing up at the border. And now all of a sudden the Congress now is saying, hey, guess what? We need this wall. Donald was right after all. Really? If I'm a betting man, I'm going to put all my money is on all of those people that's at the border right now. I guarantee you our government got something to do with it. You ever notice how they got organized? You ever notice how everywhere they stop, there's people helping them, providing shelter and food? Now, this supposed to be an unorganized mass of thugs approaching our border to just run over into our country and take over. But now it's an organized group of peaceful demonstrators who just, you know, want a peaceful asylum. Notice how the rhetoric has changed. Hellequin dialectic. Create problem, offer solution. That's here. That's not in the kingdom. See, in the kingdom, there's no problems. So why are you feeling bad? See, if you don't understand the etymology of the kingdom, you're going to feel bad. How do I know? Been there, done it already. And if you don't understand it, now again, kingdom, God, same. That's the etymology of God. In the kingdom, the air is always good because good, drop one O, is God. Good is God. So omnibenevolence is always good. Always good is always God, number one. Number two, the etymology of mankind. This one's easy. We've done many shows on the true etymology of mankind. The true etymology of mankind is to become one with the God kind. So if mankind is going to be God kind, man is made in the image and likeness of God. Is he not? The scriptures does state that. I'm not making this up. This is in your Bible. We're made in the image and likeness of God. God is spirit. Those that worship him, I would say worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means the etymology of mankind is spirit. Now, flesh and blood cannot enter in the kingdom of God. You must be born of the spirit and the water. The Bible says that there's going to be no more giving and receiving in marriage when you get to heaven, meaning that the shizness that you do in the body, you're not going to be doing in the spirit realm. Meaning, all the stuff you feel bad for is stuff that you do in your brain. I mean, in your body, not in your brain. Now, there's things that's in the brain that you feel bad. People think certain things like, oh, doc, I had a bad thought. I actually had somebody tell me this. I said, really? You had a bad thought? Yeah. What was it? I had a thought, doc, that, I was, my neighbor's wife. I was, it wasn't his neighbor's wife. I'm just making this up. But basically, he was, married, but, he was having an attraction for another female that wasn't his wife. Now, I'm going to do a series. I wasn't going to do this because I posted this on Facebook, and I was going to do, this was a couple of years ago when we had the coffee shop. We was going to do a conference on sex, sensuality, and spirituality. And I was bringing in some speakers who were, like my wife, very well-endowed and voluptuous, we'll put it that way. And I want to talk about how come that's a problem in the church. Remember like the story with Jessica Simpson. Now, the reason why I'm telling this is because people feel, as my wife will tell you, or most women that are, very attractive. It's really interesting. When I find women that are very attractive, 99% of them, they try to tone it down. I've never seen a very, very attractive woman who really promotes, that's in the church, that really is proud, not flaunting, but like, hey, God bless me with, long hair, green eyes, or whatever we deem attractive. And God forbid if they got a body. I've never seen a woman in the church that's okay with her body. If she got a big badonkey donk, and everybody knows she got, it's kind of obvious, but it's really interesting. How do you feel? How does that make the woman feel? And then men, how does that make you feel? So Sister So-and-so is up there. She's leading the choir, and she got this really tight dress and, this really tight blouse, and it's low cut, and Sister So-and-so is showing off all her goodies. Brothers, how y'all feel? Are you thinking about God? Are you thinking about, them chi-chis? I'm keeping it real. I'm the only one. Now, see, I used to feel bad. So I used to sit in church and I would feel bad because there were sisters in church that was attractive, and I'd be like, wow, damn. And that messed up my theology. Why? Because I thought I was doing something wrong. Now, I'm talking about just stating facts. Like if I see a green car, there goes a green car. You ever notice if you see a green car, you don't turn your back and not look at a green car? See, it's really interesting because we don't really understand the purpose of sex. We don't understand the power of sexuality. So I'm going to do a show about the spiritualization of sexualization or the sexuality, the spiritualization of your sexuality. How do you spiritualize sex? Now, I do this all the time. A lot of people don't know the transmutation of sex. There was a great book I read a long time where I get the term phallic female from. And I forgot the author of the book. I'm going to, we got to break this one down because I'm seeing that as another thing that makes people feel bad. People have thoughts about sex and they're single or maybe they're with somebody else and they see somebody else and they have a thought. And that thought lingers more than a second or two and they're like, oh, man, I feel bad. That's a trick of lose, seen, far. You know what you're supposed to do with that thought? Transmute it. That's what I do. Okay, but Will, what do you mean? I'm going to break this all down. And now, this is powerful stuff. Do you know the most powerful creative force on earth is sex? Anybody, y'all know that? The most powerful force on earth is sex, and we got people who are taking a vow of celibacy that they don't have sex. So what you do with all that power, all that energy? Now this is I'm gonna prove it to you biologically proven that the vibrational force that is created inside of the body doing something that we call a sexual urge. What do you do with that? How do you use that to create? People don't know. I was shocked that people that don't know how to transmute sexuality, how to turn it into a creative force to go build, to go out and exercise, or to go out and lift somebody up, somebody's spirit, to go out and build a house, to go write books. So a lot of stuff I do, I'm able to do it because I understand how to transmute. Because remember, back in the day, I used to give people penis. Now I understand how to give people purpose. Now, when you give people, let's say if you don't understand that and you feel bad because of that, why do you feel bad? I know people who feel bad. Let's say, we live in a culture now that's a little different from most of us older folks that grew up. People exchange photographs of body parts and so on and so forth. And then people do that and they feel bad. Why do you feel bad? Well, I don't know, Brother Will. I just feel okay. Well, you sent the photo, right? Yeah. Okay. Why did you send it? See, people do not understand the regenerative power of spiritualization. It is the most powerful, etheric, energetic exchange on earth. This is now the book, Think and Grow Rich, talks about sexual transmutation. That is more of a worldly way of looking at it. What I'm talking about is the spiritual way of understanding, okay, what's the purpose of it? What was the purpose of it? And how do we engage in the law of exchange? So I'm going to break all that down. I don't know, I may do that next. Why? That is the etymology of mankind. See, the true etymology of mankind is to be an energy manager. It is the exchange of the spiritual energy that occurs during any heightened state where fluids, hormones, chemicals, anything are released through the emotional stimulation from thoughts. Thoughts, emotional stimulation, hormones, fluids, secretions. So my thoughts control my emotions, and then my emotions activate my hormones, my chemicals. So why do I feel bad? Because I do not understand the etymology of mankind. You see, brothers and sisters, there is a physical component and a spiritual component to this exchange. Everybody knows the physical component. We call that sexual intercourse. Very few people know the spiritual component. They don't understand the spiritual component of this mutual exchange through sex transmutation. It has regenerative power. This is the spiritualization of your sexuality. And without understanding that, brothers and sisters, you do not understand the true etymology of mankind. The true etymology of mankind is to engage actually in the spiritual act of sex transmutation. The ability to take this powerful force that we call sex, and instead of demonizing it and making it evil, sure, it's used for, maybe we don't know, maybe people don't know. Sex, three things. One, procreation. Two, health creation. Three, spiritualization or immortality. That's the purpose of sex. Now, everybody know about procreation. The other two, not so much. People don't know how to use their sex energy to create health. Now, I use it every day. How y'all think I go to the gym three times a day? It's a crazy thing to slice bread. But a lot of people don't know. So I think I probably have to break it down for you guys. That's the true etymology of mankind. To be what? The God kind. What does gods do? They create. How? Energy management. What is energy? Emotion. Emotional stability. Gods have emotional stability. What do? They direct their emotion. They hold it when they don't want to release it, and they direct it. So if I got a lot of pent-up frustration, sexual frustration, I can hold it, and then I can release it into making a book. How do you do that? People don't know how. That's the etymology. That's what gods do. Gods just don't go out and just have uncontrollable, you know, bursts of anger. That's called emotional unstable, emotional instability. Emotional management is the key. But emotional management comes from mental management. So number one, how do you feel good while doing bad? Understand that you are a god, a little god in training. That's why you're down here. So God is teaching you how to control your energy and how to direct your energy and how to create, because God is the Pitar. The word Pitar means generator. The word generator means a signal, a sender of a frequency or a wave or a vibration. So I'm going to ask you the question, what wave vibration did you send out this morning when you woke up? Did you send out, what are we going to do today? Did you send out a frequency of fear? Did you send out a frequency of doubt? Now, see, the Father, he always sends frequency of good. So if I go and do something bad, I'm sending out a frequency of bad. That is not God. That is not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, it is omni-good. It is always good. The Father only sends out good. Now, how people perceive that good, they want you. Maybe you want to get in that car with those three strangers and drive home. Maybe you want to get on that plane that the Father said ain't your time yet, but you crying and you fighting with the attendants and you ready to curse, you cursing people out because you get me on this plane right now, and then the plane crashes and stuff, and then you're like, oh, damn. Thank you, Father. You see, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you really understand how the system works. You cannot. I do not have the luxury of a negative thought. I don't. Not at this level. Now, you may, but when you get to the higher realms, you cannot, because you have a thought negative today, it manifests in your body tomorrow. You be at the doctor, and you've got this pain in your back, and you don't know why. I know where that pain from. There's a spiritual cause to every physical pain. There's a spiritual cause to every physical problem. And if you do not address the spiritual cause, remember I was telling you about my son, lost all his hair. I did some research on it, and I was like, man, why did he lose all his hair? Other than the fact, you know, he moved into a 5G city, which Austin is a 5G city. The frequency is a little different. He could have, based upon immunology, he could have an immune response. But the biggest thing, daddy issues. And me and my son Kendrick, I love my son to death, but Kendrick saw some parts of me that, and he has a sensitive spirit. He wasn't like my oldest son. And so there was things that I said that affected his spirit more than it did because of his sensitivity. And I know at the core, you know, he said, no, Dad, every time I see him, Dad, I love you, everything's good. And Kendrick, you know, when you talk, man, oh, no, Dad, everything's great, Dad, you're the greatest dad since sliced bread. But deep down in my soul, I know that he hasn't dealt with that yet. And that calls, that's what the Father told me. Now, I told my son, and he was like, no, Dad, that got to be a medical reason. Okay, son. You got to remember, he was 19 at the time. So what am I saying? The true etymology of mankind is emotional management. So you got a problem, you got feelings, manage them. If you don't, then you're not part of the God kind. You're still a part of the mankind. Mankind is becoming a part of the God kind. We're becoming glorified. We're little G's in training. So you have to understand the true etymology of humanity, what we call humanity, because remember the word human is not in the Bible, and the only time it's in there once, and it's only mentioned because it's talking about a spiritual monster. So, brothers and sisters, the last piece of the puzzle, number three, to being able to walk around every day. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying when I talk about feeling bad. This is not like justifiable. I'm talking about you actually did some bad stuff. Like I know you can't eat a whole box of Krispy Kreme donuts. I say this all the time, and y'all think I be joking. I can't eat. I have a sugar fetish, if you can call it that. And out of everybody that knows you should not eat processed sugar, I think I'm probably the most qualified. I know that shit just heats up your brain. That's like eating sugar, like eating rat poison. Like how much, you know, like that's like, you shouldn't do that. But yet, why do I do it? Do y'all think I feel bad when I be knocking down that donuts and I got the, you know, I got crumbs all over my lips? Nope. I don't feel bad. Now, if I stroke out and I pass out, don't come to my funeral and be crying, because I'm going to have Krispy Kreme dust all over my mouth while I'm laying in that box. Why? I know what I'm doing. What am I mean? That means that I made it okay. Now, I talked about the danger of self-delusion. Self-delusion is, it is what it is. We're all self-delusional to a point, meaning we take our coping mechanism, mind, sugar, that allows me to cope, and I turn it into a permanent solution. And it's not. It's temporary. That's called self-deception. Now, self-acceptance of self-deception, okay, now we're on a whole other level. I ain't accepting the fact that I eat Krispy Kreme donuts. I got to go back to, going to the store and buy me some grapes. I used to do that. And I do. When I detox, I don't eat no sugar, zero. When I detox, whether it's a month, I don't eat no sugar, period. If I go to detox, no meat, I don't eat no meat. I don't even eat meat substances or byproducts, no dairy. So I do this all the time, but it's not permanent. So what am I saying? Understand, I am not self-accepting of my self-delusion. Now, you can be self-delusional, meaning you can accept certain things and you can tell yourself it's okay, when you and I both know it's not okay. But you're doing it for a period of time. But you have, hopefully, a date that you're going to stop doing it. What am I saying? That's okay. Why? There's something called, like, I have children, they have birthdays. So my little grand babies, my little granddaughters, I go there, they have birthday cake, and they say, "Hey, Grandpa, eat some cake." Well, what am I saying? "No, get that cake away from me. Satan, get thee behind me, you foul spirit." And am I going to do that to my granddaughter? No. Now my older kids. Now, this is the stuff I used to do to my kids. Oh, man, y'all don't even know, man. Y'all talking about anal retentive Christian? Oh, man. We didn't celebrate birthdays, Christmas, holidays. We no presents, no trees, no lights, nothing. No Halloween. Oh, Halloween, we stayed up in the house. We did prayer vigils. We used to pray the old year in, the old year out, new year in. My kids didn't. That's what my two oldest kids, man, they went buck wild. As soon as they 18, June, they was gone. My daughter went to college and lost her mind. Why? Me. So what am I saying? Brothers and sisters, you have to understand exactly what the Bible says. There's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Don't get your worth and your value from what you do. If you do, you're in trouble. You need to get your worth and value from your design, from your God. So whenever I'm feeling down, I go read my Dale Kinney report. That gives me my worth and value. That makes me feel better because then I can understand. Number three, how do we feel good while doing bad? You're doing bad things and you're feeling bad because you're not where you want to be, or you've actually done something bad. You've stole something. You slept with somebody's wife. You kicked the dog. You lied on your taxes. You're doing something and you feel bad. You honestly feel bad. Lastly, we have to understand, and this is really, really, really important, the etymology of love. Brothers and sisters, we don't really understand. Notice the word, I use the word etymology on all the three steps. We don't understand etymology. So if I trace God or energy back to its source, guess what scientists find? Some people call it the Big Bang. They find a source where all energy comes from one place, and then it goes through changes, or it's destructive or constructive, depending upon how it's used. I can take electricity, and I can put somebody in a chair and electrocute them to death. That's bad, destructive. Or I can take electricity, and I can power my house, so that way I got lights. And I got heat in the winter, and it keeps me warm. That's constructive. So all energy is just energy. It is used in a constructive or destructive manner. Now, if we don't understand that, then all emotion is basically love. Love is the foundation of all emotion. Just like energy is the foundation of God, energy is the foundation of mankind. So if we understand etymology, then how do you feel good while doing bad? You understand etymology. So what is bad? Okay, by definition, bad is something that a group of people have decided that it was bad. So we say if a man is married and he sleeps with another man's wife, somebody else, that's bad. Everybody says that. Where do we get that from? We got that from Scripture. We got the Scriptures from some guys who wrote it. And those guys said God told them to write it. Now, whether God told them to write it or not, I don't know. That's what they said. But then the Scripture says, there's another Scripture that says that there's going to be no giving or receiving in marriage. Now, I'm going to do a series on the true esoteric nature or history of marriage so we can break that down as well. Because, again, there's a lot of man-made constructs or components inside of what we call marriage that's different from what the Bible calls heterosgamous or holy matrimony. What does that mean? That means there's certain things that's added into what God designed so that way you can feel bad. Badder. There's certain things that you do right now that you feel bad that's based upon your design. Like me, I used to feel bad because I cared. Now I made it okay. So I know care is still being used against me. I know I still care too much. But guess what I did? I made it okay. I made it okay for me to care too much. It's okay. I'm not going to beat myself up anymore. I'm just going to go about caring about people. People, if they don't care about me, no problem. That's my job. There's some people that's not designed to care. So I understand the etymology of love. But first of all, it all started with the etymology of God because God is love. What is the etymology of God? When you trace God back, I'll say some people say God is a big guy sitting in the sky. Some people say God's like physics. He's an electron. He's a proton. He's a neutron. Some people say God is the ether. Some people say God is, thinking stuff. No, there's a lot of different definitions of God. But trace it back. What is the etymology? What is the source code of God? What is the light code? What is the causality of this mentality? What is the cause of the substance that we call God? Well, the cause is there is something that emits or sends. Some people say light. Some people say power. I like to say informing because, again, information. So the God, what we call is frequency, waves. Now, I didn't say God is. I'm just saying that he sends. God sends out a frequency. Now, that frequency is interpreted by some people as good, and it's interpreted as some people as bad. But the frequency is unconditional. The same frequency goes. Now, excuse me. In physics, you can prove this as well, because the frequency goes out to everybody. It doesn't just rain. The sun just doesn't shine on white people, and it doesn't shine on black people. No, the sun shines on everybody when it's out. When it's away, when the sun stops shining, it stops shining on everybody. And when the sun starts shining, it starts shining on everybody. The Bible says it this way: God rains on the just and the unjust. Now, that's very, very important because the Bible says it only rains on the people who tithes. I mean, that's what people say. But the Bible says, consider the lily of the fields. Consider the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap, yet I take care of them. That's what the Bible that I read says. I mean, it's all God's anyway, because guess where it comes from? God is the signal, and he's the sender, and he's the sustainer of everything that exists. Let me say that again. God is the sender, and he's the sustainer of everything that exists. That's the etymology of God. When you understand that, then he's the sender and sustainer of good and bad. Like it says in the book of Isaiah, what is it, 47, 48? It says, I create good, I create evil, I, God, create all these things. You know that scripture in Isaiah that everybody talks about? What's he saying? He's saying that energy is taken and people use it for destructive things. But I'm omnibenevolent. My intent is for good. But there's some people, some entities who can twist it. So we got to understand that the original intent was an energetic expression. So let's go back. What was the original intent for man? The original intent was for man to have dominion over the earth. That's in the book of Genesis. And the original intent for man, for him, the mankind, was to be the God on earth. God had everything covered in heaven. He needed somebody to run earth. Look at the original intent. If you do not know the original intent, so you can't feel bad if you are a man or woman, because your original intent is to have dominion. So once you understand you got dominion over the fish in the water, the birds, and the scared creepy crawly things upon the earth, I forgot the other two, but in the book of Genesis, it says that mankind, and it lists five things that we have dominion, that's kingdom. So do you got dominion? You feel bad. Should you feel bad because you got dominion? No. Should you feel bad because you don't have dominion? No. What you should know, that's your birthright. That's where you're going. Just because you're not there yet, you don't feel bad because you're not there. You should feel good because you are an inheritance. You have an inheritance. You are a joint heir with Christ. You have been glorified. You have been justified. You have been sanctified. All of this is your birthright. You've been predestined. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal, excuse me, you're a royal priesthood. You've been adopted by the Father. You are a partaker with Christ. All of this is a part of the etymology of man. So how can you feel bad when you got all those great attributes? Well, Brother Will, you know what happened, man. I have these thoughts, man. Oh, you know what? I drink. Now, thankfully, that's the one thing I did right with my kids was, hey, I told them, you are 18, y'all grown, you make a decision. Well, Dad, we're going to party, we're going to have alcohol there. Okay, knock yourself out. So you don't feel bad? You want to give us a speech? Now, if you want to drink, drink. You know alcoholism runs in the family. I've already told you, my father was an alcoholic, so you may have a predisposition for it. Yeah, Dad, it tastes good. Okay, I don't like the way it tastes. So y'all knock yourselves out. I didn't make my kids feel bad because they drink alcohol. Because there's no reason to. It's just an expression. It's just something that people do. Now, I used to feel bad because I ate Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't feel bad no more. I just put in a couple of episode laps, put on 5 more minutes on the treadmill. Now, there's going to come a day when I ain't going to eat Krispy donuts at all. But until that day, I ain't feeling bad about it. That's the etymology of love. The etymology of love is that love is unconditional. Now, brothers and sisters, this is really important because, you know, I've talked surface level, but if I'm 100% honest with you, 100% honest, I know and you know good and well that there are certain things that if you do, you're just going to feel like, man, I shouldn't have did that. That's okay. What I'm talking about is this 5 years worth of beating yourself up because you lied on your taxes in, 1920. That's what I'm talking about. See, the word unconditional means not subject to any conditions. See, I serve a God like that. Everybody else have a God of conditions. I don't. Now, I'm not saying that you should do what I do. I'm just saying that in the kingdom, I'm just saying that in order to establish true self-worth, in order to get to millionaire status, one thing about millionaires, they got short-term memory. Man, if y'all believe me, call them. And they actually call them on Monday, then call them back on Wednesday. They only remember the things that's associated with their design. Call a millionaire and give them a fact that has nothing to do. If they made all their money from cadavers, call them and ask them something that has nothing to do with cadavers. They're going to be like, excuse me, who's this? What was your call about again? When did we meet? What did we talk about? Oh, okay, well, I got 100 cadavers to pick up. I'm getting paid. Talk to my secretary. See, we don't do that. Most of us don't do that. Most of us are controlled by things that happened to us or things that we did to someone else, and that limits us. See, the word unconditional means without limits. It means without conditions or limitations. Unconditional. Without conditions or limitations. Unconditional. See, unconditional love. You have to know the etymology of unconditional love. So love, we all know, is this. Let's just use there's a lot of different words for love, as we know from the love chapter. But for today's study, let's just keep it simple. Love is just having fondness towards someone else. So that fondness towards someone else or something, some person, place, or thing, you have fondness. It should be without conditions and without limitations. So that freed me up from feeling bad for having weaponized caring. Now, I still, nothing has changed from what I taught about weaponized caring, meaning I'm not going to care for people at the expense of my purpose. I'm not going to feel bad because I have to turn my back on somebody in order to pursue my purpose. I used to feel bad because I had to turn my back on people. But the devil knew that, so he sent people into my life so that way I couldn't pursue my purpose. And he done the same thing to you. There's people in your life. Oh, there's no people? Okay, thoughts. So the devil's going to send thoughts into your life to keep you from pursuing purpose. Guaranteed. There's thoughts in your head, and you feel bad because you have those thoughts. I'm telling you, if you feel good, not about the thoughts, but you feel good about your purpose, how do you feel good while doing bad? Forget what you're doing. Focus on your purpose. With my body, y'all know the scripture in Romans 8, with my body I serve the devil. With my mind I serve God. Now, I don't like using that one because people say, oh, really? Hey, I got a license to sin. First time I heard it, excuse me, that's what I thought. So that means, hey, I do whatever I want. Because I'm doing it with my body, right? Guess what? Before you do anything with your body, it has to be held in your head. Let me say that again. So with your body, you serve the devil. But before anything manifests in your body, it got to be maintained in your head. That's what I'm talking about. Those thoughts in your head, don't feel bad about those thoughts. What do you do? Don't. Why are you wasting your time feeling bad about those thoughts? The thoughts are there. Let them stay there. What do? Consciously direct and exert. Let me say this again. Consciously direct and exert. Let me say this again. Consciously direct and exert energy in the direction of your purpose. Watch how fast your life changes. Consciously direct and exert your thoughts of purpose. Even include your flaw. Watch what happens. See, what happens is your body gravitates to the highest vibrational thing, the highest possible good. So that low vibrational thought, don't fight it, don't resist it. You know, don't bind it, don't loose it, don't cast it out. Oh, get thee behind me, Satan, don't foam at the mouth and all that stuff. That's putting energy into it. Consciously exert your thought life in the direction of your design. Watch how you feel. Your design makes you feel like God. It makes you feel good. So how do you feel good while doing bad? You feel good because you are designed for good. Let me say that again as we close. How do you feel good? Look at your design. Why? You're designed for good, most of us, 99.9999% of us. There's a few OPs out there, organic portals, but they already know. This message is not for them. But how do you feel? Now, this is important because right now there's somebody is feeling bad because you're not where you want to be. Somebody's feeling bad because you're still in Groundhog's Day, and you know in your heart, you know, why am I doing this, man? I'm better than this. You know you should be, and you're beating yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Focus on what you should be doing to get out of Groundhog's Day. Just don't stay there and think about the fact that you're in Groundhog's Day. Don't think about that six-pack you're drinking. Don't think about that female that you idolizing until you take my sex transmutation class, and then you're going to understand how to Take that female that you're idolizing and use her to motivate you to write 50 books. You'd be up all night, every day, nonstop, 24/7, 365. You would have unlimited energy. I did not read about this in no book. Brothers and sisters, let me make sure you understand. You have to feel good. You do not have the time. You do not have the luxury of feeling bad. We've already wasted. If you're a member of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, you've already wasted too much of your time feeling. The only thing that you should be feeling is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That is what you should be feeling. And you do whatever you have to do to feel that, legally. Well, for me, legal or illegal. I don't play with the devil. He don't play fair, I don't play fair. There's no pact between lions and men. Devil come at me twisted, I come at him twisted. I'm talking now, again, I'm talking spiritually, it's not physical. What do I mean? That means my brain, that means I'm ruthless when it comes to what I got to do. In other words, my body, I feel like, and this happens. Sometimes I feel like I'm about to pass out. I've actually passed out. I don't stop. If I'm on a treadmill, if I say I'm going cold turkey, no sugar, I go cold turkey, no sugar. I get all the symptoms just like a crackhead. I start shaking, you know, I get the brain fog, you know, dryness of mouth. I get lightheaded, you know, because why? My body's detoxing. So my body says to do this, go there, get that Snicker bar, go to that Snicker bar. No. Why? A concrete decision. Once it's made, I'm in it to win it. That takes dunamis power. And that takes exousia. That comes from crystal clear clarity. So brothers and sisters, again, the kingdom mindset, and we're going to do a lot of shows. This is just, we're just introducing the kingdom mindset. But this is the kingdom mindset. In the kingdom, the mind must be omnibenevolent. That means the etymology of God. In the kingdom, the mindset, you must know the true, your true destiny, the true destiny of mankind. That is to be a part of the God kind. You must know that, because then all you do is thinking about, hey, what does God think about? They think about creating all day. So that's number three. You think about creating from a place of love. So I'm going to take my love. You know what? I have a love for flowers. So I'm going to write a book on, you know, how to grow flowers. Because I just love growing flowers. So every day I get up, I'm going to create from a space of love. So guess what? You ain't got time to feel bad. You ain't got time to do bad. See, if you take your eyes off of what you are doing and you put your eyes on what you're supposed to be being, guess what happens? You will be the solution. So you got bills, okay, so what? Stop counting them bills. Stop reading them letters. Stop taking them calls from the bill collectors. Start focusing on, okay, well, how do you get rid of bills? Okay, make more money. Okay, do the things that you, the etymology of love, do the things that you love, and guess what happens? Then bills, all of a sudden you have more money than bills. Whatever you think about, you bring about. Brothers and sisters, feel good. That's all I'm saying. I don't care what you're doing. Now, what you're doing, that's really a non-issue. What are you thinking? Because guess how you control what you do? How do you control what you do, brothers? How do you control what you do, sisters? By controlling what you think. So don't focus on what you're doing. But, Brother Will, you don't understand, dude, what I'm doing, brother. Hey, trust me, Holmes, I know. I know. I don't focus on what I do. I focus on what I think. Because I know my thinking will eventually change what I'm doing. All I got to do is focus on what I'm thinking. And brothers and sisters, this is my prayer. That you focus on and think about your purpose, which is full of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and self-control, because that's override what you're doing. You bring about what you think about, brothers and sisters. So think on these things. Like the Bible says, whether things are just, whether things are pure, whether things are righteous, if there's any virtue, if there's anything good, think on these things. Think, brothers and sisters, think. Think like God. That's the etymology. God is good. Think like the true destiny of mankind. And the true destiny of mankind is to be like God, and God is a spirit, and he's a good spirit. So therefore, by deduction, man is a good spirit. And good spirits operate from a place of love. If you understand God, man, and love, you won't feel bad. Because why? God is awesome. Guess what? Humankind, mankind is destined for awesomeness. And how are we going to get to this awesomeness? Through love. If you think on those three things, if you think on God is omnibenevolent, if you think on man is going to be omnibenevolent, and the way by which man is going to be omnibenevolent is through unconditional love. So therefore, I'm going to start now. Hey, you want some unconditional love? You want some unconditional love? You want some unconditional love? Just wake up every day and give unconditional love. Just think about it every day. Every day you wake up, who can I share unconditional love with today? Do that. Just do that for 1 week. See what happens. Do that for 1 week. Just wake up every day and ask yourself, who can I show unconditional love to today? Watch what happens. Post stuff on Facebook for 1 week about unconditional love. Talk to people, share unconditional love just for 1 week and see what happens. Watch how fast, watch how good you feel after 1 week of sharing the love of Christ with the world. Because people are already doing it. One person I know that does this every day and models this every day is Sister Ellen. I tried to blow a pump, but Sister Ellen, man, she always talking, and she heard about my wife's issue with high blood pressure and this, that, and another. She just automatically offered. I saw a post about a product that she has that helped high blood pressure. First thing out of her mouth, Brother Will, you do so much for other people, I'm going to send you a box. That is unconditional love, man. That is what I'm talking about. You see a need, you just jump in there. That's powerful right there, brothers and sisters. If we could do that, I guarantee you we're going to feel love. I love you, brothers and sisters. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he never, ever, ever will manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Royal dream. Royal dream.
Up on my team, had to chase my royal dream. You can check sophistication, just evaluate the scene. Ain't it tragic how we pause our power based on what people think? It's time to take it back, cause we can't sit on a bench and die. Long as we divided, we'll never see true meaning. Lost inside division, living only through five senses. Imagine what else you missing inside that little vision. That's why you can't see them demons crawling inside your little kitchen. We gon' stay buzzed like hives and fly to true ambition. Till the numbers just multiply, then we can start to build it. None of you rappers wrong, but all of you rappers are. Why do you choose to be fake and give us the wackest song? We can just make a stand so records and labels can die. I don't need your advance, so I can just bubble and fry. Rather just make a band with all of my brothers and ride. Take over motherland, make all of you.